Ah, yes. As a bear emerges from the cave of hibernation, we are back from our break. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tuning the Bow, a parenting podcast about how to best to disciple your own family, run by two youth ministers. My name is Matthew Wilbank, and this is my friend Tim Rose. Tim, how are things hanging?
As a bear hibernates. That is one of the greatest things we've ever said on this podcast. And we brought you the Shemadel. Doing well, man. Doing well. My week has been incredibly busy. Our church is doing D-Now this week, so this is fun.
Mm.
Tonight we get to do a rodeo. Welcome to West Texas, where you would have a youth night at the rodeo.
Man.
So I will be in my cowboy boots. I might even break out the cowboy hat, which will look funny on my giant head.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the rodeo. And in other news, my kids are almost 1 year old, and I can't handle this. So, Matt, how's your life going?
You know, pretty good. I just got back not too long ago from a leadership meeting for high school students that I would be sort of facilitating in the schools. And so I'm excited to start that. Lots of opportunities opening up for me. We're starting Wednesday nights. By the time this episode comes out, we're starting Wednesday nights tomorrow. So I'm working on that. I might have stolen from you, Tim, and we might be going through the book of James, but we might not. I don't know yet.
Look at you. You want me to send you over the sermons? They're really good.
No, I tried.
Because I didn't write them, by the way.
No, yeah, I was about to say.
I had Mary write those sermons for me. That's how I get the good ones.
Gosh. I never mind. I don't want to get in trouble. Well, I mean,
it's theology and community. It's theology and community.
Get absolutely, it right. Absolutely. Wife is the helper, but I guess she helps in more ways than just, you know, the average wife would. She does all the work.
Hey, look, man, I would love to tell you that, you know, we just use it because it's convenient, but I use her sermons because they're better. No, I'm kidding. I write all my own material, including these horrible jokes. Anyway, you were saying leadership retreat, right?
Yeah, so I'm excited to do that. I'm excited to get started with it, working with a bunch of high school guys in athletics or maybe other clubs. So just the opportunities are starting to grow this year for me. And that's kind of what we want to talk about, is starting off your new year right, even though this is, what, week three of the new year. It's never too late to start again. I know we talk about, you know, we joke about New Year's resolutions and then, you know, breaking them on the second day. But, you know, New Year's resolutions and stuff like that is always good to, you know, give a second chance. You still got the rest of the year. So we want to start off this year or start again this year off on the right foot. And today we're going to be talking about something that we've mentioned in passing but never really dove into, is why you should be doing a devotional.
Yeah, we're going to dive into, you know, we've talked a little bit about how to do a family devotional, but we're going to talk about the why. Why do we do a family devotional? Why do we do individual devotionals? And you know, obviously we're going to gear this conversation towards parenting, but the secret is that, yeah, you know, you do a devotional to get closer with God as an individual, to meet with him and to learn from him and be at his feet. And so, yeah, this is going to, you know, this permeates more than just parenting, but we're particularly going to talk about how does this key in with parenting. So Matt, I'm going to let you, as the resident youth pastor without two children, almost a year old,
woo,
I'm going to let you talk a little bit about personal devotionals, and I'm going to interrupt you periodically with thoughts.
Absolutely. So the first thing, right now, when I'm looking at my desk, I see two packs of batteries that I haven't put away because I got them out and used them. A lot of times people think devotions are like recharging your batteries, and that is false. Your personal devotion time with the Lord is not you recharging your batteries. also sitting on my desk right over here, is a lamp. That is what it's actually supposed to be. Anytime that lamp is plugged in, you are getting energy directly to yourself. And that's how we need to look at devotionals. It's us plugging into the source of our life and all things, is what we'll talk about in just a second. And having that be our everything. And so the first thing I want to talk about is, why do we need to have a devotional? And right off the bat, it's because Jesus did. And there are two passages I want to look at very briefly. And the first is in Matthew chapter 6. This is probably one that you've heard more often than not. You might not know what it is, but when I start reading it, you're going to go, oh, okay, yeah. So the first passage is Matthew 6, verse 6. And it says, "But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you." So right off the bat, Jesus is like, you should do this because this is good for you. You go to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you doing this will give you a reward. Now, it's not like a reward that Paul would talk about later in some of his letters about this reward that we get for running the race and doing all this great, these great things. No, the reward is actually knowing who God is even more. This prayer time that we have with the Lord is also kind of, you know, tied with a devotional, is that opportunity we have to talk directly to God almost unbroken. There, you know, depending on when you do it and where you do it, it's that time that, you know, Jesus says that you need to go off by yourself in a way that, in a place that is, you know, secluded or isolated, so that it's just you and the Lord. And that is a very important thing that Jesus even modeled himself in Luke 5, 15 and 16. "But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." And so Jesus himself took his own advice. There'd be a lot of pastors who could benefit greatly if they did that themselves. But Jesus said, hey, go in secret and do this because it's good, great benefit of you. And then he actually did it himself. And so what we see here is that Jesus modeled what that looked like, even though there were countless people trying to get his, you know, autograph, I guess, if you wanted to put it in modern terms, just get a chance to, you know, shake his hand and never wash it again sort of thing. Jesus was like, look, I love y'all. I have great compassion for y'all, but I need to go and talk with the Father because that is the most important thing for me so that I can best minister to you. So, Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a, I mean, you know, if we're going to really be honest and boil some things down, there's part of this that, as I read these passages and I read the passage in Luke and what Jesus is saying there, like, you get the sense that yes, although there is a massive part of Jesus's godness that is speaking, his divinity, that's also part of his humanity speaking, where he's going, hey, I'm going to have to leave you people to be with God so that I can then come back and deal with you people.
Mm-hmm.
If we're just going to be honest here, this is, as a parent, one of the big reasons why you need to have a personal devotion is because your kids wear you out sometimes. Mm. I mean, I've got two 1-year-olds. That's still disgusting to say, and they wear me out sometimes. Like, they're sweet kids. I mean, they act like their mother a lot, which is good. They don't act like their father, which is very good. But, like, they wear me out. Those of you who have teenagers, I don't even think I have to argue this point to you. And so, yes, there are tremendous benefits in parenting that we're going to talk about here in a second. But we have to remember that when we go to meet with God, we're meeting with him because ultimately we're going to become more like him.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be more like him to parent your kids well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be more like him to be more effective in your parenting, to see more victories in your parenting, to have more joy in your parenting. And, you know, I'm going to talk in here in just a minute about family devotionals. Man, having a family devotion is great, but I'll also tell you, if your family devotion is the only time that you're in the Word, not only will your kids notice it, your spouse is going to notice it. And the big deal is, especially with the kids, is as they are today, our kids grow up in a world full of hypocrites and two-faced people. And not just on their, you know, Batman that they watch, though he's there too. They see it in politicians. They'll see it in, unfortunately, even people in ministry and in the church. They'll see it in their baseball coaches and their dance coaches. Everybody is hypocritical. And if you're trying to bring the Word to them in a family devotional, but that is the only time you're meeting with God, and so when you start saying, well, this is what God taught me in my Bible study, and it's a lie, they'll see right through it. Because your kids desire genuineness. They desire authenticity. You know, Matt is the resident good counselor on this podcast. I am but a mediocre one. But I was counseling a student the other day, and he looked at me and he said, you know, Tim, I knew you were going to say exactly this, and I knew you would say it. That's why I came here. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, what you just told me was exactly what I expect you to tell me, and it sounds just like what you would say. And he appreciated that like the Tim that he meets with in my office to talk about things is not different than the Tim that he knows in every other walk of life. Mm-hmm. I just encourage you as parents, like, before we even really get a good family devotional, we have first got to understand how to meet with God ourselves. Because if your family devotion, if how you parent is not from the overflow of your heart that God has filled, then you will be incapable of being genuine, and your kids will expect you to be authentic. Yep. If you look and feel like the world to them and you are disingenuous, they will begin to ignore you immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that really feeds into my second point of why you need to have a personal devotional, and it is because it's time that you have to hone your skill. And so this is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. At the beginning of the letter, Peter talks about how verse 3, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who is called us by his own glory and goodness. So you have everything you need because of what Christ has done. And then he goes into this really long list of all these wonderful qualities that we now have because of what Christ has done. And then he gets to verse 12. And I'm reading 12 through 15. It says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you now have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder, since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed made it clear to me. And I will also make every effort that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure. And so Peter, writing to, you know, his audience in this book, it's kind of a general epistle, he's writing in a way that's like, look, when I'm dead and gone, when I leave this bodily tent, as Christ told me I would, I want to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. And so that's the purpose of this second letter he writes, 2 Peter. He wants to make sure that they've got it down. And that's why he spent so much time, you know, in this list systematically saying, if you have this, it will increase this. And if this increases, this will also increase. And folks, if you are not in the Bible and to some capacity every single day, you are not going to grow. It's just going to be stagnant. And I'm speaking from experience. In my time as being not just a youth minister, but being in any sort of ministry capacity, whether it's volunteer or paid, the moments and those periods of time where I'm not in the Bible, I'm not doing a good job. You can hear it in the way I talk. You can hear it in the way that I teach. And you can definitely see it because I'm not as active as I should be. Why is this? Because I am not being reminded of these things. So this is the most important reason. Jesus did it. He told us to. Yes, that is a, you know, that alone should be a command itself. So go and do that. But then it's the so what? Why do I need to do this? And Peter gives it very clear. So that I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you now have. Even though you might have been a believer ever since you were a child, if you stop reading the Bible for a period of time, it will be, as Tim said, very evident in your life. And so, in the same way Peter is exhorting his audience, I want to do the same thing. That, you know, we need to make sure that we are in Scripture every day. And, you know, sometimes some people are morning people. They can get up, they can get going, and they can read their Bible. That's a good day, or that's a good time to do it. But there are some people who are night owls. That's also a good time. I know my sister-in-law, she was doing a devotional with some friends of hers, and the only time she was able to do it, because she also has a my nephew is now 10 months. Good grief.
Yeah, it's a real thing, dude. It happens.
No, age is crazy. But the only time she was ever able to get alone and do any sort of devotional was at night after she put my nephew to bed. And I will say she has taken advantage of that. Granted, you know, haven't checked up on, you know, on her. It's like, how's your, you know, walk with the Lord doing really recently? I mean, I guess I need to do that with all my family and, you know, be a better brother, but also better brother in Christ. But I mean, that's the thing, is you got to find a time that best fits your schedule, that you're able to actually get something out of it rather than just reading through and go, all right, check. You know, it actually needs to be something that you're getting into and studying and reading. But, you know, big point is this is why we do a devotional. It's so that we can get alone time with the Lord. We do it when it's best for our schedule, when we can best pay attention, so that we can actually listen to what the Lord has to say.
Yeah. And you know, I'll just piggyback off that. You know, my wife last night, she did her devotional and Bible study. She did it while I was asleep. I conked out. I was snoring, and she just did it there. She said at one point she almost stuffed her Bible in my mouth so that it would get quieter in there, which I was grateful she didn't do. But, you know, it's okay, especially in different walks of life, to have different times. You know, I'm a guy, I love doing mine in the morning. I think it starts your day off right. Like, I'm a big fan. I wouldn't say that, you know, have to be done that way, but I encourage everyone, like, hey, try and do it that way. Mm-hmm. Because I think it does help. But there are different walks of life that you're going to have to do at different times. The point is, and maybe we can make this as clear as day, is that regardless of the point of life, you need to do one.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a point in your life where you go, well, okay, in 3 months I'll be back and I'll be able to do quiet times again. No. That's the devil convincing you that you don't need it. Because I guarantee you in 3 months, he's going to say, well, no. I mean, it's still 3 more months. You need it every day. You are in need. I mean, my goodness. If you so much as open your phone to a social media or deal with your kids for the entire day, you need more Jesus in you than you currently have. Mm-hmm. But in addition to a personal devotional, we also wanted to talk a little bit about the why we do family devotionals. And to steal Matt's intro, as I look at my desk in front of me, and this is very sad, but as I said earlier, this is D-Now week, I have a pot of coffee on my desk and a coffee cup. The pot of coffee is half full now. It was full earlier today. And this is the whole idea behind a family devotional, is that you're going to get filled up, much like my pot of coffee was filled up this morning. But then it is now your job as a parent to pour out yourself for others. So mm-hmm. Two of us have drank out of my coffee today, myself and my assistant. We will surely either drink the rest of this pot by the end of the day, or others will come take from it. And this is the same idea. You as a parent are like the coffee pot. You've been filled up by God in your family devotional, and now your job is to go and fill your children up. We've talked about the basis for this being in Deuteronomy 6, our shemadel, as we just beautifully love to say all the time.
Yes, sir.
The bad part is that this is an audio medium, and I'm just going to let all of you know that he just frat-snapped that.
I'm so glad you picked that up.
Yeah. I want to make sure you as the viewers have full understanding of what just transpired. But anyway, we start there, and we understand that this is a mandate from God. But again, we want to ask the why. You know, one of the things that as I've gotten older, and I say gotten older, I mean past teenage years, that I really begin to realize is that God decrees things, but there is still always a why. And you can sit down and look, and there's normally a very practical reason as to why. And I think there are many practical reasons as to why we need to do a family devotional. Number one is, let's just be real here, folks. You need to make sure that your kids are getting the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in and around youth ministry now for 8 years. Because I'm getting old. Matt's older than I am, though, just to make sure you all know that. But I've been around it a while, and here's what I can tell you. Like, most of my students are not what I consider to be biblically literate. And I'm going to define that real quick so that you know, and then it'll make sense as I bring it up. By biblically literate, I don't mean that they're unable to read. They're able to read. What I mean is that they don't have a working knowledge of the basic stories of the Bible that are really important to getting kind of the whole story from creation to revelation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So many of my students may be able to tell you one thing about an Abraham, but they can't tell you, you know, okay, well, why did he go from Abram to Abraham? That's a significant story. We need to know it. They couldn't tell you what Moses did. They know that he's important, but they can't really tell you what he did that was significant. They definitely couldn't tell you that he was a primary author in the Old Testament. They wouldn't be able to talk to you about Joshua and what he did, and then David, and just walk you through the narrative of the Old Testament to get you to Jesus. Now, the reason I bring this up to you is because Matt and I and thousands of youth pastors in planet Earth are all trying to ask the question, how do we get them to have all that knowledge in 5 years when we see them once a week or twice a week? That's what we're trying to get, because what we know to be true is that when you know these things, then Jesus becomes even more beautiful. He becomes even more necessary. And you see that he is the completion of what God had planned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I bring that all up for this specific reason. It's what Matt and I and thousands of other youth pastors have realized is it's an impossible task. We're going to work hard at it. Don't get me wrong. We're going to keep doing as best as we can, but it's an impossible task.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have realized that if you take time day in and day out to talk about the Bible with your kids, not only is the task not impossible, but it's actually very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell you all of this because when we talk about the why, number one, you want your students to be able to walk out, whether it's at 18 or 20 or 22, whenever they leave your house, you want them to be able to leave into the world with a working knowledge of what it is that God's word says,
yep,
of what it is that God has for them and how he wants them to live. Because what we know, and people ask me as a youth pastor, you know, what of your numbers do you care about? And I always tell them there's one number that will cause me to not sleep at night. And it's not my overall numbers. It's not my DNOW number. It's not my how many I take to camp or how many baptisms I have in a year. Though I like all those things to be high. The number that keeps me up at night is the percentage of my students that stay in either our church or a church after high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I define as success, is when that number is high. And I'll tell you the standard number across all churches in the United States is about 10%.
Yep.
And one of the main whys that we push families to do devotionals together is because when a family does a devotional together, that number jumps all the way up to 90%. Matt and I are happy to be responsible for the other 10. We'll do our best to get it to 100. But if you will do the work to be with your families and meet with them and talk about the Bible with them, then you have a far better chance of being a parent who parents kids that stay in church, that stay connected to God and have their own quiet times. Because I think, secondly, to follow it, is that not only do we want our kids understanding the story of the Bible, but to be honest, we want to check and make sure that they've done their Bible study. Because I don't know about your family devotional, but my family devotional includes a time where Matt, Mary, and I sit there and say, hey, what'd you read? She's reading through Isaiah right now. I've got to re-listen to Thoughts on Isaiah, even though I sat through at one point a four-year sermon series on it. But I get to listen to her thoughts in Isaiah and what she's seeing and how she's seeing Christ being fulfilled in these prophecies.
Yep.
It's fantastic. But you can do that. You can check those things. And it allows you the ability to have an organic situation where you can ask that question. It's really weird to sit down and go, hey, son, hey, daughter, what'd you read in your Bible today? But if you're sitting there talking about the Bible as a family, it's very easy to say, hey, how does this work with what you read today? What was it that you read today, bub? And ask. Because look, you're responsible as a coffee pitcher for making sure the coffee cups get filled up. God looks at you and he says, did the cups get filled up? And you may say, but wait a minute, I thought we're supposed to tell our kids to read on their own. We are. But we as parents are still responsible for that. And as much as we may want to look at the coffee cup and say, well, the cup's empty because it never came over to the pitcher, God will sit there and say, no, 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 no. You were supposed to fill the coffee cup up. That's your job. And so I just implore you as parents, the why is that, yeah, we want our kids shaped by the Bible. We want them to have lives that are surrounded by Scripture. And we do a family devotional because we know that, A, more Scripture will never hurt that. But then, B, that we want to make sure that they're in the Word by themselves and they're seeing how the Word works together, how God's Word is actually all living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Right.
And so we do that together. And we just take a few moments of our day to say, hey, what's Scripture about? I will also tell you that you will learn more things about your kids. You will learn more things about your spouse. You will hear things that you didn't realize they went through. Mary was telling me, I won't go into detail, but Mary was telling me the other day in Isaiah how she said, yeah, well, someone said something rude to me while at church. And this passage in Isaiah really, really kind of nourished me and comforted me in that moment. And I sat there and I went, somebody said something rude to you at church? Like, I didn't even know that because I hadn't asked. But because we sat down and we talked with one another, I learned more about her. I learned about how she reads, and I learned how God was comforting her outside of using me. I was reminded that although, yes, I'm there to be a helpmate, and yes, I'm there to be a leader and a comforter, that God still has it fully under control and doesn't really need me. Like, we learn all of this when we sit there and talk about Scripture with our kids.
Yep.
And so we can't... Well, on the flip side, if we don't, our kids don't know the Bible. I'll tell you, Matt and I have got great sermon series. Evidently, might even be the same one. But our kids will not know the Bible just from us preaching to them.
Yeah, because students don't actually remember our lessons as well as we wish they would. So that's something I've, not just that I learned as a student myself growing up, but now as I get older, the stuff that the students remember from interaction with me is when I sat down with them and talked to them as just another person. And so as great and as much time and effort we put into our lessons, the part, and same thing, as much time and effort you put into your family devotionals, that might be something that your kids remember, but it is the sitting them down and talking with them what you read and what they read, maybe even one-on-one. Those are the moments that are going to stick with them for a very long time.
Well, and you know, I think about it like it's like when I practice for baseball. Matt, you can give a soccer analogy. but I wouldn't know what any of it meant. But, you know, in baseball, they always make you field ground balls, especially when you play in at first base where I did. And nobody remembers the exact bounces. Like, I couldn't walk you back to my my high school baseball field and go, see, if the ball hits right there, then it's going to bounce a little differently. I couldn't tell you that. Much like we don't remember the exact lessons. Maybe we remember the silly parts where the youth pastor accidentally slips up and says that Jesus is Chinese when he didn't mean to. He's trying to say that he was dining. You know, whatever. But what we do remember is the fundamentals that we learned.
Yep.
Like, I couldn't tell you what those bounces look like on the baseball field, but I can tell you the fundamentals of how to make sure you get a ground ball. Mm. I can tell you the fundamentals of how you should do it on a regular ground ball. I can tell you the fundamentals when you're in a no double situation. I could tell you all that because that's what we remember. And your kids, they may not remember your, you know, tantalizing 5-minute sermon on Luke chapter 2. But they will remember the fact that their mom and dad sat down every single day, turned every electronic off, and said, let's dive into God's word together.
Yep.
And when they're sitting there as, you know, adults and they have a family, they're going to say, man, maybe I should do that. Mm. Maybe mom and dad had a reason. Maybe, you know, unfortunately, maybe if your kid becomes a sort of prodigal and they're sitting there and their family isn't following after God and unfortunately goes through some difficult times, maybe they'll ask the question, why weren't things difficult when I was at home? Mm-hmm. And they'll realize, oh, they weren't difficult because we talked about them openly and we prayed about them together. Yep. And we sat at God's feet together and he took care of us. And they'll go, maybe we should do the same thing as our own family.
Yeah. And it is a battlefield. To get started on that, it's not just going to be a battlefield to get your kids involved. It's going to be a battlefield for you to do it. Yep. For instance, I'm trying to get back into shape like I was in high school. And that means I have to get up and actually do physical things in the morning. And it's not fun. It is very hard. And I hate it. But if I want to keep up with students, if I want to play sports again and not, you know, run out of breath every time I take a box of something upstairs, if I want to do that, I have to, you know, whip my body in shape, kind of what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe, where just as an athlete does what he can to follow the rules, that's the same thing we need to do when we are doing, going through this life, you know, with the word of God in hand. We need to do it according to the commands and the rules that God has. And it is not easy. It is difficult. He also talks about a soldier getting commands and a farmer doing the work in the mornings. All of that, it's not easy stuff that you just kind of wake up and just go, oh man, I've got a six pack of abs. It just doesn't happen. In the same way, you're not going to wake up, you're not going to get all your family together and it just be the best family devotion ever. It's going to be a struggle for some time. But again, when you set that precedent, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, and this is how it's going to benefit you in the long run, you've already won a majority of the battles right off the bat. And it's, again, it's going to be tough, but it's going to be so rewarding.
Agreed. Well, Matt, do you have a resource for today?
I sure do, for once in this podcast.
Look at you go.
Yes. So all this talk about devotionals, we might as well go ahead and give you one. The one I am reading this year, I've got a bunch of them that I could, you know, give you that are just super good, such as the classic Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, always a good one. But the one I'm going to actually recommend is a new one that came out at the end of last year, and it is Alistair Begg's Truth for Life, 365 Daily Devotionals, Volume 2. Now, Matthew, you might ask, why not Volume 1? Well, I didn't read Volume 1, but I am reading Volume 2. And let me tell you, it is so good. One thing I love about it is it gives you your standard devotional. It gives you a scripture, and then it kind of talks about that scripture and how we can apply it to our life. But then something that it does at the end, which is one of the reasons I loved Alistair Begg's ministry so much, is it gives you a little chapter or a couple verses from the Bible. and it has three symbols behind it. So for instance, January 1st is Psalm 46, and then it has a picture of a head, a picture of a heart, and a picture of a hand. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to read the passage. So you'll read Psalm 46 and then answer three questions. And so the first thing is with the head, how does this change the way I think? And then with your heart, how is God rendering my heart's affections and what I love? So what do I need to change in what I love? And then thirdly, the hand, what is God calling me to do today? And so it doesn't just give you, you know, a devotion and kind of a get up and go and stuff, but it gives you extra work to do for your own kind of benefit. And so that's been really good. And then at the bottom of each page, it also gives you, you can read the Bible through a year, and it gives you that as well. But that's the real big reason I want to recommend Truth for Life Volume 2, is because it gives you that extra passage that expands even more on what the devotion was written about. And then it asks the three questions of, how do I need to think differently, which we always need to think differently. What am I supposed to change in what I love, and what am I supposed to do today? And so that is Alistair Begg's Truth for Life Daily Devotions Volume 2. Tim, what do you have?
Yeah, the book that I want to tell you is Dad Tired and Loving It, Stumbling Your Way in to Spiritual Leadership, by Gerard Lopez. Is that how we're saying his name, Matt?
I'm going to assume it's not Lopes.
I didn't know. I read books, not listen to them on Audible. Maybe I should start doing that to know what the author's names are. But basically, this book, the whole premise of this book is that it's written to guys who say, hey, my dad may not have been the greatest spiritual leader, but I want to be. And so it walks you through, I think, a lot of the why that you should be a spiritual leader, and gives you some encouragement when you have no clue what you're doing. Because ultimately, us dads, we get there and we're like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just guessing. And you know what? That's okay. My dad always used to tell me, a trailblazer doesn't know his path; he makes it. And so, you know, that's the point when we talk about being a dad and trying to lead in this way. You may not have seen it before, but you're gonna have to make your path. It's gonna look different than mine. It's gonna look different than Matt's. You may screw up somewhere. But I think this book is a great help to you. I read it over the break. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I know it encouraged me to just say, hey, get off your keister and go do something as a dad. Because we all love to be lazy. But we all know that we need to go up and do things. And so, Dad Tired and Loving It, Stumbling Your Way to Spiritual Leadership is my resource book.
Yeah. So that's all the time we have for. A little longer of an episode, but I think it's important that we, you know, spend a little bit more time on this particular subject. So my closing thoughts are, again, echoing what I said at the beginning. If you haven't been doing anything, any sort of devotion, again, it's always a good time to kind of kickstart, you know, what you're doing. Because honestly, you know, years and days and all that doesn't really matter too much. The only thing that matters is, again, what Jesus was calling in when he first started his ministry in the first chapter of Mark, where the first thing he said was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so the first thing you can do is repent of your sin and just get moving on the path of starting a devotional for yourself and then eventually growing into devotional with your family. So it's always a good time to start or restart. That's what I have. Tim, do you have any closing words?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just echo the same thing you have, you know, and like my resource kind of gives you, hey, go ahead and get started now. Like there is always a day to get off your keister and do something. And so, we know you love your kids. We know that you want to see them become the men and women of God that they need to be. So now it's just up to you. You know, get up and let's go.
I am. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So we will see all of y'all in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye, Matt's mom.